Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The poor woman in our gospel reading doesn't get what she came for. She came to the well to get some water in the middle of the day. And at the end, we see that she leaves her water jug there and goes back into town. She didn't get what she came for, which was just water, simple, ordinary water. Instead, she has a conversation with a man who exposes her sin, who talks about the true worship of God, and reveals to her that he is the Messiah. So let's find out what happened. That then, at the end, she leaves her water jar and goes back into town and tells everyone about this person that she has met. So she's going to the well in the middle of the day. Now, that may not seem odd to us. The sixth hour of the day, as it records here, is noon. But in the Middle East, it's really hot in the middle of the day. And you're not going to go out and carry a heavy water jar back from the well in the middle of the day. That's not a good time to do hard, difficult labor outside when the sun is beating down in the Middle East. So she's probably going when she knows that there won't be other people there. She's trying to hide, maybe. Although we don't know that for sure from the text. But it is an unusual thing to do. So she goes, and lo and behold, there is someone there at the well. And what's more, the person who is there at the well is a Jew. Now, she is a woman of Samaria. And Jews don't really have dealings with Samaritans. They look down on the Samaritans as those who had, long ago, their ancestors had intermarried with other nations and started worshiping false gods. And so they actually believe different things from the Jews. And the Jews look down on them. They have been into idolatry, and so the Jews look down on them for this. And they should not have fallen into idolatry. The Samaritans were wrong for this. And so it's very unusual, then, that when this Samaritan woman comes up and sees a Jew there, he asks her for a drink of water. And she, surprised by this, questions him and says, "Well, how is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink of water?" And rather than Jesus saying back to her, "Well, just give me a drink of water," he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks, that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's kind of an unusual response. Things are strange for this woman. Here she's just come to get water, perhaps trying to avoid people. And she sees a Jew, and he already asked her for a drink of water. And now, when she questions it, he says, "Hey, I have something to give you. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it is that asks you, you would have asked him." And then he talks about giving her living water. And she says, "Sure, give me living water." And Jesus, then, in response to her request to get this living water so that she doesn't have to come back to the well and get water, then starts making the situation a little uncomfortable. He says to her, "Go and get your husband." Now, her background is that she has had multiple husbands, and she's living with a man who is not her husband. So she simply responds, "I have no husband." And Jesus responds, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus reveals to her that he is not an ordinary man. This man who has already promised her living water and who has asked her to go get her husband is not an ordinary guy. He knows her background. He knows her past. And he's exposed her sin to her. And then it goes further, because then she says, well, look, I know that you're a prophet. Maybe she's trying to change the subject. I know that you're a prophet, and she also knows that he is a Jew. And so she raises a question between the Samaritans and the Jews about where one is to worship. And Jesus basically says, yes, you were supposed to be worshiping in Jerusalem. But there's a day coming when you won't worship either on this mountain or in Jerusalem, because the true worshipers of God will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus directs, points out to her that the religion of the Samaritans is not correct. In fact, he says that they worship what they do not know. But the Jews worship what they do know, for the salvation is from the Jews. They are supposed to follow what God had given in the Old Testament. The Samaritans should not have fallen into idolatry. So now Jesus has not only pointed out to this woman her background and her sinful life, but he's also pointed out to her sinful beliefs, her wrong beliefs. But what he does is he points her to himself. Because when she raises the question of the Christ, the Messiah who is to come, he points out to her, look, I am the Messiah. I am the one who is the Christ who will tell you all things. And then she leaves her water jar and she goes into the city and tells everyone, I have met a man who told me all that I ever did. Come and see. And these Samaritans, who have been into idolatry, listen to this woman who has committed adultery, who has sinned, a sinful woman, and they come and they want to hear from Jesus and they want him to stay with them. All because she said, come and see. She's no longer embarrassed, it seems, to be seen out in public. She is willing to leave behind her water jar. Because she has found something better. And she's willing to go and tell other people about him. Because she has found the Christ, the Messiah. She came looking to fulfill her physical needs, her basic daily needs, and she found something better. We are now, in the midst of this virus, trying to take care of our physical needs. And God does care about our physical needs, and we should do what we can to take care of our physical needs and to take care of the physical needs of others. This is part of obeying the fifth commandment, that we help our neighbor in every physical need. But we should also remember, as we go after our physical needs, like this woman did when she went to the well to get water, that the Lord who gives us and provides for us our physical needs, this Lord has something far better to give us. He has living water that gives us life forever. And he has given that to us in baptism when he buried us and raised us to new life. There was living water. And he gives us living, his life, here when we receive his body and blood. This body and blood that he gives to us here in the Lord's Supper is not something to run away from, not something to fear, but rather it is something that God has promised. The God of the universe, who has control over all things, promises that he gives us good things. And we trust that he will sustain us in body and soul to life everlasting. Because we know that the greatest evil is not that we should die, not that we should not have our physical needs met for a time, but the greatest evil is that we should be separated from our Lord forever. That is worse than anything else. And here he gives us his life. Here is how he sustains the life that he first gave us when he poured out on us his living water in the waters of holy baptism. Here he pours out on us life as he gives us his forgiveness, life, and salvation in his body and blood. And so we rejoice in this, and we run here, and we come here for living water. The living water of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And in this we rejoice, and we can run out and say, come and see, to our friends and neighbors, to people who may be living in fear, over what might come, what might happen in the future. We point them to Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, who has won salvation for us, who has defeated death by his death on the cross and won for us new life. We say to all those who are living in the fear of death, there is life, there is living water here in Jesus. Come and see. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.